Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We're honored and delighted that you're with us today as we move the next step into the understanding of the absolutely amazing first century Aramaic process of forgiveness. We have just made our move to the intensive facility that we'll be working at for the next 20 days. We start tomorrow, so that's exciting. We got here about 20 minutes ago, just in time to get the show all set up and rock and roll. So welcome, and our work, of course, is that of understanding that we are creators, you and I. You know, probably the greatest atrocity done to you and done to me, and that we've bought into down through the ages, is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are, by nature, creators. You and I are creative beings, which, of course, is a wonderful idea that everybody loves when the creation's going well. When it's not going so well, don't we know whose fault it is, and isn't it always them? If only they'd be different. There's somebody in my life. If only they'd be different, then I could be happy. And, of course, that's the biggest lie that ever existed. If only you'd be different, then you could be happy. And happiness is a choice that you live in instead of being controlled by your circumstances. The minute we step into a place where we allow ourselves to be controlled by circumstances, we lose our creative ability. And we end up getting stuck in the dynamics of generational patterns of the past. So somebody who lives in a complaint says, oh, this circumstance is so nasty and it makes me so mad. And they lie to themselves and they give up the right and the ability to create happiness in that exact circumstance. Somebody else stands and says, well, you know, that's not the way I'd like it, but it's what is, so let's enjoy it instead of complain about it. And once we give up the ability to complain about it, then we realize that complaint is something inside of us and therefore is something forgivable, and that our pain comes from our complaint rather than from the circumstance. So recognizing that we are creative beings and that we have the right and the ability to change our creative process, everything moves in a different way. And so that's what we're here to support, is moving things in a different way. And to recognize that whatever energies we engage in, those energies produce our physiology. Literally, our physiological state is created by or produced by the energies that we engage in. There's a little poem that I like to share oftentimes in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and it goes like this. Each moment of love, each moment of giving, each moment of joy is a moment of living. Each moment of anger, each moment of lying, each moment of complaint is a moment of dying. All our moments add together like the digits in a sum, and the answer tells us plainly whether our life or our death shall come. We're the ones who set it up, and every negative energy we set into motion in our lives creates a result in our chemistry, literally within our physiology. And we're designed to be able to change that. We have the right to change that. We don't have to get stuck in the circumstance controlling us and saying, well, just because of that, I'm going to be miserable. I'm miserable because inside of me there's miserable. The circumstance does not cause the misery. The circumstance certainly may trigger the misery, but it is anything but the cause. And as I change the cause, that is, I apply the tool of forgiveness, my misery goes away. I'm in the same circumstance. I may not like it, but I'm in it, so I might as well stay connected to love, to the truth of who I am, and experience myself in that connected space of love. So that's what we're here to learn. That's what we're here to understand, integrate, and to support being experienced all around the globe. And so we welcome you to the show. We're delighted that you're here. Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today? No sign of Dr. Tim at this moment? Okay, well then, let's just give them the call-in number, 646-200-4169. And I'll just invite those folks who usually wait till the last 2 minutes and go, oh, I couldn't get on. I called in yesterday, but I couldn't get on. This is minute, 52. You've got 52 minutes to call in. Don't wait till minute two and say, oh, I couldn't get on, son of a gun. I hear that all the time. Push the button, say hello. What's on your mind? How can we support you? What needs to be looked at in your life from a different perspective? And let's see if we can support you. And maybe as you ask your question, you'll even bring something up for us that we'll get to work through. And how awesome is that? How awesome it is that we can together work through everything that does not belong in our experience, everything that is unlike love. So that's what we're here to do. Welcome to the show. And Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room? Or anybody with a hand up in in the chat room, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue? Are you there, Jeannie? Hello, Jeannie. How are you? Do 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 do. La da 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 da. Well, I'm not sure what happened to Jeannie. Let me go back inside the room and see if she's lost her connection or what's happening, or if I've lost my connection.
No, it's the new phone. Instead of unmuting, I hit the off button.
Okay, so, I shouldn't have done that.
541, you're on the air.
Hello,
welcome.
Michael. This is Julie.
Hey, young lady, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
How are things in Ashland, Oregon?
Well, Ashland's fine, and I'm going through a little bit of a thing that I actually have a clear question, I believe, that I can ask.
Awesome. Great. Let's go for it.
Yeah. Okay. I noticed myself in a big suppression of feelings I don't like to feel. And it came up about paying income taxes yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I was under a lot of stress, and I don't have to go into the story of it. I just noticed how much fear and angst. And then I solved a problem quickly. A friend helped me, and I got things in on time. However, so I get that relief. And yet now it's not as intense, and I know that I can cover it up again. How do I access it to the degree of intensity that I was feeling it in that moment, again, because
okay.
I'm sure I've already started suppressing it. Yeah.
Okay. So let's get clear on when you say I was under a lot of stress, that makes it sound like something out there created stress in me, which is an absolute impossibility. I mean, well, if there's a twister coming at you, we've seen those twisters on television after years. Yeah, that's going to create some stress, but the stress is still going to be internal. And the the stress when I cancel the thought of tornadoes coming at me is I want to live. I want to be safe. If that goal in me, and you can't have stress without a goal, if that goal in me accesses hostility or fear, then in my hostility or fear state, I'm going to be somewhat blinded. And I will look around and I will tend to see no escape route. If I were to cancel the goal to be safe in the presence of the tornado, I could process out my hostility and fear that that goal brings forward and stay connected to love. And as I turn my head, I'm going to spot the little sign over that says, shelter 200 feet, and go get in the shelter. But chances are, if I'm in hostility or fear, because I've loaded the goal in my mind to be safe, I'm going to be blinded to some things. That's what tends to happen. You know, you think about someone that you say, I love you, I cherish you, I honor you, I will love you forever. And then 2 months, 2 minutes later, when they give you the look, all of a sudden it's like, don't touch me, don't come near me, I don't want anything to do with you. What happened? They violated a goal I had for them. And now a different part of my mind comes forward, a part that's not connected to love. And I don't see what I love about them anymore. I don't see the truth of who they are. So when you say I was under a lot of stress, what you really mean, I would offer, is I had several goals running that access some deep parts of my mind. Now, if one of those goals was to get your taxes filed on time, then before you got them filed, the solution to that would be to cancel your goal to get your taxes filed. Now, the mind says, oh, my God, then I wouldn't get my taxes filed. No, that's not what that means. That means that you'd collapse the projection about it causing your stress, and you get in touch with the goal of dealing with an authority like the IRS resonates in you. You'd clear that stuff out, and then you'd have an easier time filing your taxes. So in order to get back to the contact, unless you've already worked through it, with that depth of stress, you'd need the goal in the urgency that it was then, because that was the cause of the stress. And the core of the forgiveness process from the Aramaic, of course, and I'm not saying this for you in particular, Julie, but for the rest of our audience who may not be as acquainted with the tools as you, in the Aramaic language, the word forgive is shebag, and it literally means to cancel. To short form the whole thing, the thing that drives our perceptual system and determines the quality of information that our mind uses to produce our perception is our goals. If I load a goal that accesses hostility or fear in me, then I tend to be dumbed down. I tend to get less intelligent and less capable of making good decisions. And so whatever the circumstances, no matter how urgent, how important, oh, I have this person who's near and dear to me, they're sick, I want them to live, and I'm just in terror and trauma because they're going to die, then I cancel my goal for them to live. And I get to clean up my terror and trauma. And now cleaning out my terror and trauma that seems to be about them dying, but it's not about them dying at all. It's about what I don't want to deal with inside of me. When I clean that out and I reconnect to love, then here I am as a space of love supporting this person sick and perhaps then empowered to bring them healing. And I produce the result I want. Out of hostility or fear, it will always be 1,000 times more difficult to produce the result I want. Now, another tool that might be useful, Julie, in this circumstance is a mind shifter. And so a mind shifter that would be really useful to use and might get you into that level of mind that you were talking about would be this. Got your pencil handy? Your pen?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay, so it's safe in healing, and I absolutely love it. It's safe and healing, and I absolutely love it when I significantly overpay the IRS.
Ooh.
Are you breathing? Notice the change in your energy. Now, for those who are listening who say, Michael, that's ridiculous, that's called a mind shifter. It's a tool. The mind works by resonance. So
when you tap into the right mind shifter, it will access the hidden parts of the mind. And the idea of the mind shifter is you split a page in two, you write the mind shifter on one side of the page, and you write everything that comes up on the other side. So the things that might come up might be things like, why, Michael, that's ridiculous. I don't want to overpay anybody. So I write the mind shifter again. It's safe and healing, and I love it when I significantly overpay the IRS. Why, that's ridiculous. They're just going to use my money to buy more bombs. It's safe and healing, and I love it when I overpay or significantly overpay the IRS. But. And so basically what you do is you use the mind shifter to resonate every part of your mind that's unconscious that produces the result that is your creative process in life. You access it, you bring it forward to conscious awareness, and then you start looking at the places where you've got unconscious material that destroys your loving creative process, and you begin to do, you know, it'll point you to this, I need to forgive as to this one, I need to look at this one, and so you get to work through those things. So does that kind of fit for your question?
Yes, yes. And so then I get to remove those interfering energies.
Exactly.
And then
you stand as the absolute presence of love.
Yeah.
You get to keep your human life, whatever's going on in the world. You're no longer a victim of circumstance. You are designed to experience in your physiology 24/7, 365, the awesome active presence of love. If you're not, then whatever you're turning it over to control you, you're losing your human life to it. And it can be anything or nothing.
What can be anything or nothing?
That which you turn it over to. You know,
oh.
If any circumstance, person, place, or activity mitigates against you living with the presence of love in your body and aliveness and bliss and ecstasy in your body, if any external circumstance mitigates against that, that's where your forgiveness work is. Because an external circumstance cannot cause those things to happen to you. You know, there's an ancient parable about that, and it's the parable of the money changers in the temple. A money changer in a temple, it's not about some Pharisees in a building with a purple curtain in it and going over and, you know, turning over their tables. That was a parable to speak about our temple, which has all these money changers. Somebody looks at this circumstance and says, oh, that's so hateful. And somebody looks at that and says, oh, that terrifies me. And somebody looks and says, oh, that. And those are all money changers. They are all literal transmuters of energy. And as long as I live in denial, that makes me mad. I have a money changer for mad inside of me that I refuse to own. So now that circumstance appears to control me and make me mad. When I recognize that that's a lie, that I have a money changer for getting angry, then I can go in and forgive that money changer, that transmuter of energy that holds my anger. I can forgive and remove that. And then there's that same circumstance. Again, I might not like the circumstance, but exactly the same circumstance is there. And I maintain the connection to love and bliss and ecstasy instead of hostility, rage, guilt, grief, and fear. And I can smile at it. And remember the exercise we do where you smile and you allow the energy from your upturned lips to warm the frontal lobes of the brain. And when they do, that turns on a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that was called rachma in Aramaic. And that's a gateway for human life to come into your form. If you keep that gateway open and human life is coming into your form, then nothing in the world can control you. Now, the world doesn't like that, especially those who've learned over centuries and centuries and eons of practice how to control other people. Kings hate it if you live a human life. Pardon me. Kings want you to be stupid. They want you to be in hostility or fear. So they keep, you know, just watch the television. The whole game is controlled. You know, there are four corporations that control 90% of the media that you see. And you'll notice that it's all based, or virtually all of it, is based in hostility or fear. If you keep the peons in hostility or fear, you keep them stupid. They'll never function with choice. They'll just go from one hostility and one enemy to another, to another, to another. You know, the problem is those people on the other side of the river. The problem is those people with the other color of skin. Or the problem is those people with the other kind of accent. Or the problem is those people who live in those big houses, or those people who live in those small houses, or those homeless people, or, you know, the money changers will keep going and go from enemy to enemy to enemy. If you don't have any money changers in you, you don't have any enemies. They're just other human beings. Some of them are in pain. Some of them are in turmoil. Some of them are in rage over their pain. And the presence of your love can bring them healing. If you've got it, smile, warm the frontal lobes of the brain. Bring the active presence of love forward.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Learning about that simple act of getting the experience of Rachma into my body through that gateway and learning about that frontal lobe, yeah, but I think that that has taught me, and those other filters of Ruka, Kuba,
Rachma.
And Rachma, right.
Rachma,
yes. So,
yeah.
That's right. That really, really helps. I've been talking lately about how I can notice when I'm in non-being and then I can just go into being. If I feel those filters, that really helps. But
yes.
I was really activated this time.
Cool. That's a good place to be because that's when you get in touch with those deeper levels.
Well, yeah, and so a lot of my behavior is to keep that covered up, like eating and not getting things done, and you know, so now I know that if I go in and just work, that's a great place for me to focus. It doesn't really matter what form this takes, any circumstance that I think is externally causing something, if I let that be what I look into with a worksheet tool of some sort, then that will help, that'll zero in on where the goal is that's creating the stress that I'm using to create stress for myself.
Yes,
so
that's it exactly. You got it.
Here's one more thing. If you don't have another caller, one more little thing.
Go for it.
I've been wanting to mention to the listening audience that there's a great set of CDs by Bruce Lipton and Steve Behrman.
Yeah, great stuff.
It's called Spontaneous Evolution, and I loaned them out a bunch to people, and now I got them back. I'm going to re-listen, but there's a place in there where he talks about stress. He tells a story about people being in a bomb shelter and never hearing whether the alert is over, and so they're just staying
right.
in a constant state
Living
of stress.
In fear. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And that's kind of like what our media culture, corporate media culture, really has an intention to keep us surrounded in is, I think they have an intention to do it, you know, to keep us.
Well, seeing as how it's happening,
if we don't
somebody
know.
Holds it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when you notice something's
exactly.
happening, it's happening for a reason. It isn't just, this happened to happen. It just
yes.
doesn't work that way.
I agree entirely.
I just met another genius, somebody that agrees with me. How cool is that?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that stress translates then, you know, escalating into the body and your tissues and all those thoughts that are embedded that create the disease. And so we, you know, like you've been teaching all along, the more we see ourselves as energy beings, the more empowered we are to transmute and lift out of those encumbrances that we've allowed to ourselves to create.
Exactly. And you know, it's always interesting. If you really watch life carefully, it's like life always knows exactly how to come along and kick you right square in the limitation and show you the next lesson that you've got. And many people will just rail against the circumstance and go, and refuse to go, the reason I'm feeling this in my body is because it's in my body and I could be removing it from my body rather than blaming the circumstance, whatever the circumstance is.
Mm-hmm.
When I give up blame,
yeah.
You know, when I give up thinking or speaking, when I give up my denial, thinking or speaking as though something outside of me is the cause of something inside of me, then I get to start to live a human life. And as I live a human life, I begin to achieve something that humanity has hardly or perhaps not even started to conceive of for thousands of years. And that is, I get to learn how to go into every nook
and cranny of my mind, my emotions, and my genetics, and I learn how to decode the hidden information there that causes my discomfort and my pain. And when I realize that my discomfort and my pain, short of somebody, again, cancel the thought, but short of somebody coming up and punching me in the nose, my discomfort and my pain is caused by something inside of me. If I live in denial, I think or speak as though something outside of me is causing this. And you'll notice this, how subtle it can be. Well, I was under all this stress. That's a subtle denial. Well, it was something out there causing my stress, as opposed to, oh, I had some goals that really brought up some deep stress in me. Difference of night and day. In one case, I'm disempowered and I think it's out there. In the other case, I realize it's mine and I've got charge over it. As an energy being, you know, I came into the world fully connected to the awesome presence of love. I'm designed to live as that presence of love, with that presence of love moving in every cell of my structure 24/7, 365. That's what I'm designed for, to live in bliss and ecstasy. And when I allow something in me to move that's unlike that, if I speak or think as though it's outside of me, I can't change it. But when I take responsibility for it, then I can choose to be at peace and connected to love. Again, it may even still be something I don't particularly like, but I don't have to be in that kind of internal discomfort and pain. So that's what we're here to understand and to learn. And, of course, you know, do I do that all the time? No. I have, you know, 1,000 generations of genetic history just like everybody else, and I'm still doing my work just like everybody else. But here's the beauty of it, is as I teach it, I get to learn it on deeper and deeper levels, and that's so cool.
Okay, here is...
All right, young lady, we appreciate you. Good question. Good scenario to lay out, and awesome space.
So my question originally was, how do I get back to the intensity, you know, rather than suppressing it? And your answer, I believe, in a nutshell is, ask what is the goal that I have holding that I could cancel. If I were to start a worksheet or start somewhere.
Yeah. I, in order to get the intensity of response, I'm going to need the intensity of goal that I had at the moment where I was feeling that type of stress. So,
okay.
You know, I'm going to have to let myself go back to the place where, you know, oh, my God, they're going to get me if I don't file it in time. And that's what accesses that level of the mind. And so a mind shifter can be a powerful way to access it without having to go back and create all that stress again, without having to go back and do all that.
Okay. So, okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Another thing you could do is just use your imagination. What would be the worst end outcome if you didn't do it? Oh, my God, they're banging at my door. They're coming to take me away.
Well, that's where I went.
Then there it is. So then imagine they're banging at your door and they're coming to take you away. And breathe and cancel the goals that bring that kind of stress forward and let go of it. And then you'll never have to attract them to come and take you away. And that'd be a good thing.
Yes. I have better things to do
awesome.
With my life. Okay.
There you go.
Wow, Michael, thank you. Oh, thank you. I'm going to do these worksheets.
All right,
bye.
We'll hold the space.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dr. Tim, how is the young man?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Awesome, sir. Welcome.
Thanks.
That's exciting in your world.
I'm just working with another couple people, trying to get them to get deeper and deeper refinements on the work. And I was prompted to dig out the newer version of the codependence to interdependence lecture. I was inspired by Terry's work yesterday, and I've been holding him in the space of love and gratitude for his calling in and letting us know that he was triggered and what was up for him, and having them listen to him work through some of it. And in the newer lecture, there are several pieces that have come out that weren't in the older lecture. And one of them that jumped out at me was the three solutions that come from my non-being mind.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about the three states.
The pseudo-solutions?
About it yesterday. Yeah, the
are
idea
you talking
that,
about the pseudo-solutions?
Yeah, well, the non-being mind solutions to when it's triggered.
Right.
And we've talked about the three different states of reaction are what I did to get along with my power person when I'm in low stress, what I did when my power person was raging or abusing me to cope and survive, and then jumping into whatever I did that my power person did that I hated the most. However,
when ultra stressed, right.
Yeah, those are the three behavior patterns. But the solutions of the non-being mind are trying to figure it out.
Yep.
If I can just figure this out. The second one being, if I can just achieve the goal that I had that I thought my power person needed me to achieve in order to love me or accept me or approve of me. And the third one is just trying to control everyone and everything around me to keep them from resonating my pain. And that piece that wasn't in the older lecture.
Right. And actually, in the workshop now, in the live workshop, the pseudo-solutions are now up to 8. We've identified 8 pseudo-solutions of the non-being mind. That's what I call them now in the workshop, is the pseudo-solutions, the things we think are going to do it that will never do it in a million years. So let me see now if I can offhand fill in. So they're the first three. What are the others? One of them is, if I could just get somebody to love me, which really means if I could just fulfill all my power person's needs, then everything would be okay. Let's see. If one of them is, so that's 4. One of them is, if I could just, I'm going to just go back to the old way. Just forget about it. This is too hard doing my work. So I'm just going to go back to the old way that my power person did it, and my family system has done it for thousands of years. And, you know, I'm just going to do it the way the world does it and forget about doing my work. And, of course, the person who's stuck in that pseudo solution thinks that it's hard to do their work, but really the thing that's hard is to live in insanity. But it does take effort to do your work, as opposed to it being hard. It takes effort. And for somebody to just follow the patterns of the generations, it takes no effort whatsoever. It just, you know, unfolds easily. And let's see, that's 5 of them. Let me see if I can bring to mind the other 3. If I were good enough, then everybody would love me. And that ties back in, of course, to, once again, if I could just fulfill all my power person's goals. And the other 2 or 3 aren't coming to mind at this moment. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll dig my notes out, and we'll make sure to go over them within the next show or two.
Well, it was great for me. It was more examples of how the work is still evolving, and you're getting and I'm getting greater clarity at different times. The more I teach it to people, the more I catch myself in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. And one of the interesting things that's come up for me in working with people recently is all of the different ways, different shades and flavors of people trying to just figure it out. And how many different ways it always comes back to what David Bohm and Krishnamurti were talking about, which is this thing we have that we call our thought is a defective system, and it has a systematic fault. So there's no level of using it in any way.
That will produce anything desirable, right?
Yeah, in terms of our emotions and our relationships and upset, that's going to make a difference.
Right.
It's all just putting a new coat of paint on the house that's falling apart.
Or as Jeannie says, spraying air freshener on the garbage can for the 15th day. And she just told me that she thinks Terry's on the line with his hand up. So let's call Terry in and see what he's got to share with us. Terry, are you with us? Is that you that's in that 828 exchange?
That's me.
Hey, welcome, sir. How you doing today?
Hey. Oh, it's a new day. I'm doing a lot different. The energy's a lot clearer and cleaner, and I wanted to share a new experience I had last night in regards to some of the work that we did on the show yesterday.
Yes.
It was...
And Terry, I appreciate your willingness to move there, because that was just an awesome piece of work. And anybody who was listening, I mean, it was just instant. They could get the shift in energy as soon as you did the forgiveness process. It was just... It was amazing and very cool. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And it just continues to amaze me. It's like, why doesn't everybody want this? It's like, it's so good when you go through that. And to get to the place where you can just know that what you're going through and what's going to be on the other side is incredible. And
yep.
I shared that link on a couple of websites and some other pages and with some folks that I know. And then I was back in my office late, and I was on the phone in my office, and I had shut my door when we were doing this session. So you can do this anywhere. Okay. I mean, all the activity was going on outside the door, and I was going through my process, and they were unaware of what the healing that was going on there. And that was kind of
right,
interesting
right.
dynamic. And then the other part here that was really powerful was after I'd finished my day, I went back to the office to gather some stuff, and it was kind of late, you know, getting a little late, and it's around 8 or so. I played the podcast from the show yesterday, and I kicked back, and then I realized I was right back in that same position, and listening to that opened up another layer, and there was another scoop process. I like that word, scoop it out now. That's a great way
to
go.
That is good, isn't it?
There was another scoop that was scooped up and released, and just from listening and reconnecting to the energy of the show. That's the most powerful experience I've ever had with that type of a situation where I'm listening to a recording of a show, but it took me right back into that space, that energy, and it was really... It was good. What can I say? It's good. It was great. And that's another tool that, until now, I haven't experienced at that level that you have on the website there, and I'm pretty appreciative for that.
Well, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why when people do worksheets, I suggest they get a three-ring binder and keep them, because in the same way, when you go back around 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, there'll be a new gift every time.
Yeah, I see that.
Because until, you know, you can't go to depth, you can't go deeper into the hidden mind than you can, than you are high in vitality. So someone who does a worksheet around an issue gets a major breakthrough today, and it's like, whoa, major healing, and they're at a level 6 vitality, so they really get to clear that issue out at a level 6, but they've still got a 7, 8, 9, and 10. 6 months later, when they go back, and maybe they're at a level 8 vitality, it'll be like 10 times. It's like an exponential sort of thing. It'll be 10 times as meaningful when the next layer comes. So that's cool, yeah. And it'll be fun, because in a week when you listen to that podcast, there'll be another piece, and it just goes on.
And that is definitely a core piece for me. That's just a major one to revisit and keep working on.
Yay. So do you want to share what that was about?
Well, it was about some abuse that was the child, you know, the child and abandonment and trauma and all that stuff around that. Was it in the stuff that I tapped into over and over, you know, worksheets, different things, and that's why I label it as a real core issue, because it's one that's really deep and kind of primal, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, any thoughts from Dr. Tim for Terry?
Well, just that now that you're thinking more clearly, I would recommend looking into the faster EFT tapping. So instead of just massaging your wrists and doing the cancellation of goal process, but adding that, it's like being able to give yourself body work without, you know, having a massage therapist around. And one of the key pieces in that work that Robert Smith incorporates is the concept that this, whatever I'm going through right now in my mind and my body, isn't happening anywhere but in my mind and body. So if I've got the energies resonating in me from something that happened 10 years ago, it's very similar to what Dr. Rice says. He says, remember, if you're having a memory of pain, it's just the memory of pain. You're not actually in the situation going through the same pain again. And because it's in my brain cells, it's in my energy system, it's accessible to me. I can remove it, and I can also rewrite the roots of it. I can literally go back and restructure a more loving memory that includes an understanding of that I had a higher self at that level, my parent who was abusive to me during that period had a higher self, that the other people I was interacting with that disappointed me or weren't there for me or whatever, they had a higher self, and I can restructure memory based on happier times in my life and good feelings and tap that in, as well as tapping away the roots of my trauma and the mental emotional energy that I have attached to those memories. So I would encourage that. It's really helped a lot of people in my work to have the awareness that I can literally restructure the memories and mentally practice them and tap them in. And then when those times or incidents or interactions get triggered in my memory, they have an entirely different effect in my thoughts and in my energy system.
Yay. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So
anything else to share, Terry?
Tapping locations, is there any feedback on that?
Well, if you look up the YouTube for Faster EFT and Robert Smith, he will outline for you 5 points. One is right in the center of your forehead where the eyebrow begins. The other is on the side of your head where the eyebrow ends, on the bone ridge right on the side of the eye. The next one is underneath the eye on the muscle on the cheekbone. And the fourth one is the collarbones, right where the collarbones begin in the center of your chest, right below the soft V in your neck.
That's the one I was familiar with. I didn't know about any of the other ones. Someone had showed me that a few years ago, so I appreciate that information.
And then the last thing is to grab your wrist, a firm but gentle grasp of the wrist, and saying the word peace. And on every one of the points when you're tapping in Faster EFT, you're repeating some form of phrase, I release it and let it go. I cancel the needs, I cancel the goals, I release and let it go, I just let it all go. I feel it, I allow it to be there, and I release it and let it flow. It's the recognition that everything I'm feeling within my physical and emotional energy system is just energy, and I have the option to hold on to it as long as I want to, but I also have the option to just let it go, let it flow. And this ties right into what Dale Allen Hoffman has distilled out of the first three Beatitudes, and his short version of what those are for him is to say, breathe, feel it, and let it flow through me. Breathe, feel it, let it flow. let it come up and feel it, and let it flow. And in all three steps, breathe.
Okay.
So there's a lot of... Say again, Michael.
I was just going to say it was interesting. A few months ago, we were in St. Louis and picked up our granddaughter, who at that time was about three. And she's sitting in the back seat of the car. And all of a sudden, she breaks out. I mean, full voice, arms open wide, like, you know, she's going to embrace the world. And she's singing from the film, what is it, The Ice? What is
it? Yeah, Frozen.
Frozen. And she's singing, let it go, let it go, let it go. I mean, she was just out there with let it go. So that's pretty cool that Disney's giving people that thought. Kids, little kids.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Terry, anything else we can do to support you today or anything else to share?
Yeah, I want to hear that. You know, it's the three responses you generally get from people when you share something that's so wonderful, and they're like, oh that's nice to share.
Well,
there
are actually four things will happen.
Okay.
When you really start to do your work, the people around you who you're in, especially more direct relationships with, will have one of four responses. One is going to be, wow, that's so cool. I like it. I want some of what you got. This looks great on you. That's the first response. Second response is, hey, I can see this is really working well for you. That's fabulous. I'm not interested, but I can support you. The third response, I am really ticked off that I can't control you anymore and you won't play in my hostility or fear arena anymore, so I'm going to crank up the heat to see if I can force you back into it. And then the fourth one is, there's no resonance left, I'm out of here. So they're the four responses we tend to see happen. Yeah.
I think I experienced some of all of those yesterday as I was sharing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like,
yep.
All right, and you know, it's nothing personal. It's just interesting to observe where people are at. And I think it's a good tool to know when people just aren't interested right now. You know, it's just not there for
them. Well, sometimes, you know, connecting to the level of vitality of your healing takes people to a level where they can't hide from themselves anymore. And when they can't hide from themselves anymore, it's painful. So they'll, you know, rage at you. They'll use one of the most common drugs on the planet, and that's hostility, and they'll point it at you. Or they'll run off and grab a drink, or they'll just disappear. You know, there's this, I don't want to feel. Connecting to your vitality is bringing up so much in me that I don't want to feel that I'm out of here. So that's pretty common. So hey, glad to be on the team. Glad to have you on ours, sir. Blessings.
Yeah.
Cool. So Tim, let me share the state of the pseudo solutions of the non-being mind as it is now. And so the first one, as you said, is, you know, figuring it out. Why did this happen? And that tends to be a person who's trapped in cycles of generations of carbon-based memories and sanity. And when we live in that pseudo-solution, we become non-human thinkings. That's kind of how I present that now in the Codependence Workshop. And then the second pseudo-solution is, I'll just forgive them or forgive myself. And, of course, to forgive somebody, to forgive myself in the sense of the world speaking about letting them off the hook, I have to judge them or myself. So people who live in that thinking forgiveness is about letting others or themselves off the hook, those folks become non-human judgings. And then the third fix of the non-human human mind is, if I could just fix them or myself, if I were just good enough. And again, that just means if I could fulfill my power person's needs, then everything would be okay. That person becomes a non-human fixing, a non-human doing, a non-human pleasing. That's where that pseudo-solution leads. And so people think that, you know, doing the list becomes a form of love. Well, just tell me what I need to do. And so people at that stage end up doing, you know, they end up in propitiation, doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And underneath their behavior that looks so wonderful and loving when they're in this pseudo-solution, there's really hidden hatred, deeply hidden hatred. And when we substitute doing for being, that just points to the loss of the presence of the ecstasy of our human lives. And that's where people hold a lot of pain. And so that becomes one of the pseudo solutions. And then the next one, the fourth one, is if I could just get somebody to love me, that is, if I could get them to, one, approve of me, or two, do it my way. And so we pressure people to approve of us. Oh, did I do that right? Did I do that right? Did I do that right? And or, you better do it right. You better do it right. You better do it my way. And that person becomes a non-human pressuring. And ultimately, in that state, for people who will refuse to heal, the thing that attracts someone into a relationship with another ultimately becomes the thing that repels, when that's the pseudo-solution that's being used. And so the next pseudo-solution is the need to control everything and everybody. And in that pseudo-solution, we become non-human controllings. The next pseudo-solution that we talk about now is, the sixth one is, straining and struggling to make up for a non-being life. So this is people who are always outward focused, trying to get more stuff. And maybe somebody could put the mute button on. We're getting a lot of banging and knocking around there. So the straining and struggling to make up for a non-being life is people who, you know, go into so much debt in order to have the big house on the hill, in order to make themselves and everybody else believe that they've got it made. And if that's done without having the presence of love in their physiology, it produces no rewarding result except for a temporary fix. And, of course, someone who's stuck with that temporary fix has to have more tomorrow, more tomorrow, more tomorrow. So whatever they're straining and struggling to get, you know, if it's, you know, people are into horror movies, it has to be a more bizarre and crazy horror movies. People that are into, you know, it has to become a more bizarre sexual experience. Or, you know, a more outrageous, glitzy, you know, item, whatever it is, if one's in that straining and struggling to make up for a non-being life. And so the person who lives in that sort of solution is a non-human having or a non-human getting. And then the seventh one is, where my power person, when I was a child, my power person, in order not to have to feel their pain directly, put their pain into their brain's image of me. And so the parent, the power person, points at the child and says, look how you upset me. And they use the child in order to avoid being responsible for what they're feeling. And so someone who's, you know, just going to stick to the good old family feeling puts their pain into their brain's image of anybody who's handy. They feel it, but they don't face it or ever own it. They actually think it belongs to somebody else, which is, you know, pretty ludicrous to think this is really yours and I'm the one who's feeling it in my body. And when one lives in that pseudo solution of putting their pain into their brain's image of someone else, the pain becomes absolutely unresolvable, because their goal is to try to pretend or to make it true that this is all somebody else's fault, you know, the epitome of denial. And so the person who lives in that pseudo-solution becomes a non-human blaming. And as David Bohm says, the enemy of all of this is wholeness, and that we need to return to our wholeness in order to really, truly experience living as a true human being. And as we step through that, then you look at the eighth pseudo-solution, and that is, I'm just going to take the easy way. I'm just going to go back and do it like, you know, the family did, and I'm not going to be responsible. And so the person who does that, and this is one that's really moving the world so deeply today, you notice we've got all these victims' rights groups and people who are suffering, and it's all somebody else's fault. So the person who lives in, I'm going to take it the easy way, the way the world does it, I'm going to blame everybody else, and it's really the hardest way do. It's the hardest way to live that there is, because we've got to bear the trauma and the drama in our bodies. Well, we're pretending that it all belongs to somebody else and it's all caused by somebody else. And so the person who lives in that blame game experiences the pain, but then there's no escape because they're disempowered. They think it belongs to somebody else. So the result of that pseudo-solution is to become a non-human suffering. And when we do that, then it's all, of course, somebody else's fault, and there's nothing we can do about it. When we recognize, and some of the real solutions are, the steps to interdependence are, one, to recognize that my body has, or my energy system has a purpose, and its purpose is to incarnate love, to bring the experience of love and give love a home to live, the human life that I am. And so that's the first step into interdependence. And then the next one is, in my relationships, to recognize and to be able to acknowledge that my relationships are about showing me the parts of me that need to heal. And so making it safe, really going into agreement and making it safe for the person I'm in relationship with to resonate something in me. And when it comes up, to own it rather than blame them for it, rather than think or speak as though they're responsible for what's going on in my physiology and the pictures that I'm painting on the inside of my eyeballs. Interdependence means we get together and we go, you know, I got a bag of garbage, you got a bag of garbage. How about if we make it safe for each other to allow our bags of garbage to come up and make our relationship about, whenever the garbage does come up, supporting each other in healing and moving on in this delightful, joyful experience of the true human life that we are. And so there's some of the principles from the Codependence Workshop that have been added since that video was done. I think that video was probably done now about 5 years ago. The original one goes back probably 15 years. I'm not even sure. So fortunately, it is growing, and we're getting to understand it on deeper and deeper levels. It's cool.
Well, thank you for that. I will go back and listen and take notes.
Cool. Awesome. Any other pseudo-solutions that you've seen?
I think that, at least for now, in my brain cells, that's a pretty exhaustive list. There's some levels of redundancy in that one. So I will let you know after I go back and listen and take notes and
cool.
Sit with it for a while.
Awesome. Well, this has been a fast hour. We're down to the last minute. So we'll just say that we appreciate everybody being here and taking part in the process. We are starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Well, we'll have dinner probably around sometime between 5 and 7. We'll have dinner tomorrow night as our opening of the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And as I'm doing that intensive, Jeannie will be doing a 9-day Healing the Whole Woman. We'll cover the whole gamut of workshops that leads up to teacher training. So we'll have two groups of people. One will be the ladies who will be joining Jeannie. And one will be the gentlemen or the ladies. I'm not sure if we've got any ladies in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again. And then for those who complete then, of course, that will be their completion point after 9 days. So we'll start tomorrow night, Friday night, and go through a week the following Saturday. So anybody that wants to join us, take a week off work and come and do a residential intensive. We've got a fabulous place here in Kissimmee, Florida, just outside of Orlando. Easy flight into Orlando. And then we'll step into a 12-day teacher training. So come and play with us. We'd be delighted to have you with us. In the meantime, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com.